You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore. This is Sound Poetry, Radio Tacoma, KTAH 101.9 FM. I'm your host, David Gilmore. This week, Sound Poetry is going to present a miscellany of poems for the season by a number of the poets that we have interviewed throughout the year. You might call it a garland of seasonal poems. The first is a poem by Joy Ladin, who is an East Coast poet. She is the David and Ruth Gottesman Chair in English at Stern College for Women at a Yeshiva University. And her poem has a line that we should all take heart with. When we learn to forgive, the plague will stop.
Hi, my name is Joy Ladin, and I'm going to read a poem from Future is Trying to Tell Us Something, my new and selected poems. Even though I'm Jewish, the poem is called Christmas Eve. To God, who is always being born, every birth is the birth of God. Everyone who says, "Here I am," is God's umbilical cord. Every word of love is a nipple nursing God. God is our child, and our children are God. Easy to hold, easy to drop, easy to trim with lights that aren't the light of God. When we were born, God was born. When we were touched without love, God learned to touch without love. When we learn to forgive, the plague will stop. God moves between the quick and the dead, swinging a censer, growing younger, curling into the womb-like space created to hold our unborn God just below our hearts. Happy holiday and happy new year.
The next poet is Michael Dylan Welch. He is very passionate about poetry and is a haiku specialist. Michael is going to deliver a poem that gives you a feeling for the Austrian way that Christmas is observed, having spent some time there. He is professor for the Northwest Institute of Literary Arts, MFA program in writing. Michael Dylan Welch.
An Austrian Christmas. This is a Heiben by Michael Dylan Welch. During my college years, I once spent a few weeks skiing in the French, Swiss, and Austrian Alps. For the Christmas week, a group of college friends and I rented a mountain chalet a little south of Innsbruck. We anticipated Christmas to be a quiet, melancholy time, as we had no Christmas tree, hadn't planned on exchanging presents, and were all away from our families. However, on Christmas Eve, the chalet owners, who lived upstairs in the same building, came down with their 12-year-old daughter and knocked on our door. Mother carried a large black metal skillet filled with popping and sizzling pine boughs. In halting English, the daughter translated her mother's explanation that it was their custom to fry a few boughs and to walk around the house, letting the tart pine-scented steam fill each room. So we let them in and followed them around as the mother waved the skillet into each corner of the chalet. We enjoyed the wonderful pine scent for the rest of our stay. It was a wonderful gesture to homesick foreigners, topped only by their inviting us to join them at the small, white-steepled village church to listen to German carols and the ringing of bells at a midnight service. Later that evening, singing echoed through the valley as we first approached village church in the wintry alpine darkness. Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, squeak of snow in front of the creche.
Next, we have the darker side of Christmas in the poetry of Luke Salazar, who, as a repo man, private investigator, editor, college instructor, freelance writer, has held many, many positions. He pays the bills driving a semi-truck. He spends most of his time behind the wheel thinking about poetry. He speaks of the rush to celebrate with the craving of merchandise.
This poem is called Black Friday. It begins with an epigraph. A Walmart worker, Jim Tye Jimbo Damore, was killed today when out-of-control shoppers, desperate for bargains, broke down the doors at a 5 a.m. sale. Yahoo News, Friday, November 28, 2008. That yellow smiley face can kill. It gleefully crushes puny humans as it bounces around the store, rolling back prices and mortals. Who could predict their reaper manifesting as a Starbucks-fueled egg McMuffin-cramped mob of early bird holiday shoppers? When Damore is welcomed at the pearly gates of heaven, will Saint Peter wear the uniform of a Walmart greeter? Will Jimbo's family, every Christmas morning, don their finest Friday blacks, like Grandma's family in that reindeer song? And what if his obituary and his official cause of death, killed by the soiled Nikes of unchecked consumer greed? At the funeral, Sam Walton himself lays a wreath of dollar bills on Damore's grave and a name tag in the shape of a purple heart.
Anne Tweedy is going to read to us her poem, Homecoming. She is a poet who has written much about the natural world, about traveling, about taking pictures, looking at art. In this, she sings of joy to the trees, the life of our planet, the inheritors of the planet who have been keeping us healthy and breathing for all these millennia.
Hello, I'm Anne Tweedy, and I wanted to read a poem called Homecoming. Coming into the woods again, the princess pine welcomes me, tiered, needled imitation of the pine tree, friend to young conifers, dispersed throughout the north, lover of moist earth. I've missed you without knowing it. When I saw you, I wanted to kneel down and hug all your meager inches. Now I learn that you and your sister stems are connected, that the bulk of you lives underneath the surface. Primitive, vascular plant, the scientists say. But what do those words mean to me, except that you have been here millions of years longer than my cousins and ancestors? May you outlast us. May you smile down on your pine needle blanket when we are long gone and even the birds have forgotten us.
Linda Robertson lives in Port Townsend presently, but has lived in many areas of the Northwest. She's written works as a naturalist might write verse. And here she writes in the persona of a Christmas tree, every bough unburdened, the selflessness of being a tree.
This is Linda M. Robertson reading a poem that I wrote when living in the Metau Valley in Washington. And I wrote this after being out in the woods with my family and we had cut down a Christmas tree. A mile up Cub Creek, December. They chose me as I stood among the others, circled round me, noisy as raucous crows. Two small ones stretched up to shake my limbs, laden with the night snow. Every bough unburdened sprang into the icy air. Singing, they clamored about, sent the black-capped chickadees quickly aflutter. There was a grasping of my trunk, the blaze and flecks of a saw, a quivering. I will not grow tall.
Next, we have Richard Tice, who has presented a short linked verse of a haiku responsive type with his friend Jack Lyon. The poem, Lessons in Haiku for Christmas.
Happy holidays. Richard Tice here. I have two sets of haiku in response for you, called in Japanese tanrenga, or in English, short linked verse. In this collaborative form, one poet creates a haiku of three lines or parts, and another poet responds with a two-line poem. The connection between the poems can be either close or far. In the first, I'm the author of the haiku, and my friend Jack Lyon created the response. The type of connection is close. The subject is an old Bible with decorative lettering, and the text refers to the beginning of the Gospel of John. The poem pair was published in the book A Celebration of Christmas. This old Bible, the eye illuminates in the beginning. The lesser light to rule the night, moonlight on the pages. In the second, Jack Lyon is the author of the haiku, and I created the response. The type of connection is far. The subject and season word are the new year. This poem pair was published in a magazine called Dragonfly. New Year's Day, finding last year's resolutions. In the gravel pit, nothing but falling snow. May you have a wonderful holiday ending to an otherwise topsy-turvy year.
Again, Luke Salazar, who has presented us with a poem that has a lilt of the Beat Poets, WWJD.
This poem is called WWJD. If Jesus were alive today, would he display for all to see, in honor of his own birthday, a plastic flame-retardant tree? Do you suppose he'd deck the halls, put light-up reindeer on the lawn, and nail a sock upon the wall, hang mistletoe inside the john? Would he devour candy canes while hitting all the sales hard, and shop for gifts as if insane while maxing out his credit cards? Would even he forget just why God sent his only son to die?
Bill Fay of Fox Island, whose work has appeared in many publications and recently has finished a work on immigration, immigrants from various countries, which will be published soon in a chapbook. He presents us with a somewhat traditional verse, Midnight Promise.
This is a Christmas poem that I put together where I tried to combine the Old Testament promise of a Savior with the New Testament fulfillment of that Savior. The Old Testament is envisioned with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and the New Testament is envisioned with allusions to Christmas carols. Here is Midnight Promise. O come, O come, shine long, O little town, ring in the light we see, beneath your dreamlike sleep in twinkling filigree. Emmanuel and ransom captive Israel, soaring songs of angels bounding over the plain, shepherds in their night watch shed their marks of Cain. That mourns in lonely exile here, softly in a manger, holy for God's word, lay his head down gently to songs from star-eyed birds. Until the Son of God appear, children cling to angels waiting for their wings. Virgin sings her plain song to God's King of Kings. Rejoice, rejoice, oh bless your Hail Mary, formed through God's embrace. Kiss the fruit from your womb, the grail cup full of grace. Emmanuel shall come to thee. Holy silent night shine in the Lamb's refrain, dips the tips of star tails that we might live again.
Next, we have Michael Shine, Portland poet, a man with a wicked wit who's going to present a satire that is a Christmas that engenders fear. We desperate to keep the wild holy. Michael.
This poem's called Christmas for Christ's Sake by Michael Shine. Ah, Christmas, you fill me with fear. Lights like festive cobwebs plugged into the unstable grid. Electron upon crazy electron, pulsing with hot holiday cheer. Santa, sweaty and pink with the kids on his lap, whispering secret pleasures from the North Pole. The plump engine of a Ponzi scheme, piling gift wrap doodad upon doodad, no payments or interest till hell freezes, and hell always freezes in bleak January, holiday hangover splitting the skull. Tiny Tim blesses us like we all sneezed, which we did, pressed together in concert halls and unfamiliar playhouses to pass the flu viruses, the ague and chill of evil humors spread belly to belly and grin to grin by punch and the green speckled cookies. Look, it's the toothy Grinch, smiling his anesthetized smile at the Who's who are racking up a zombifying racket with their gadoozers and wimple-whackers and flim-flams. These bogus Who kids, equally adept at tooting woozles, are standing empty-bellied singing in the cold, cold Christmas morn. Fool nobody who has dragged an actual whining mini-consumer past the animatronic elves in the mall. It's a wonderful world, is it not, that strains once a year to be special, only to become more of its awful self, farting and avaricious, desperate to keep the wild holy out in the snowdrifts where the bums freeze and piss themselves while singing rum-tum-tummy carols. Look, on the TV, it's the people we just liberated, blown to shreds, their grizzle not so different from the dark meat pushed to the side of the plate, and come to think of it, another slice of pie wouldn't be so bad. But tell me, Father, what was Christ thinking, getting himself nailed up on that cross, the Son of God, for Christ's sake, throwing himself a party at a time like this?
Tim Sherry, a former high school teacher and principal of several high schools in the Pierce County, King County area, he is presenting a love of Christmas in the way that candy and fudge and nuts present children's delights and grown-ups too.
The title of this poem is M&M's on the Floor. The dish is the red and green of Christmas, and the six-year-olds know there's an unspoken covenant about candy. But it's that one day of the year when no one is looking on purpose. Today, chips and nuts and fudge and candy canes and M&Ms are there for the hour of cooking when nothing can spoil dinner. So go ahead. The men have their football in the den. The new baby and her mother are napping in the back bedroom. A couple of teenagers are outside with a new basketball in the driveway. One aunt looks like she will say something about spoiling dinner, but then takes a piece of fudge on her way down the hall. As the kitchen fills up with opinions about turkey temperature, a hand too eager bumps the candy dish, and the bouncing floor is the best place to be for the next 5 minutes of Christmas Day.
Another from Michael Schein, also known as A.B. Bard. He's presenting here the love of the killer poet at Christmas.
This is Ho 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 by A.B. Bard, killer poet. The killer poet loves Xmas. He loves that he can substitute X for Christ without losing the meaning. He loves the frenzy as we count down. He loves the tangled lights. He loves the naked avarice of the merchants. He loves black ice. The killer poet believes in Santa and his anagram, Satan. He believes in the presence, the past, but not the future. He believes reindeer really can fly. The killer poet doesn't like Kwanzaa. He doesn't like posing on Santa's lap, smiling for the camera. He doesn't like doorbuster specials in the frozen dark. He doesn't like the unctuous music. He doesn't like his brother-in-law, the loudmouth Republican. But he is willing to love what he doesn't like because he loves Xmas. He loves the transcendence. He loves the repetition. He loves the ho-ho-hos. He loves the dark. He loves the pause, the breath before the next death.
Risa Denenberg presents us with the poem Selfie with Ineffable Joy, a poem that brings back even a moment of history, moments of armistice, the usual and the unusual.
Hello, this is Risa Denenberg, and I'm reading my poem, Selfie with Ineffable Joy. I stop a moment to gaze at the evening sky, its shameless blush. Feeling small and tremulous, I stop a moment to breathe. When really there's no stopping us, screen to screen, selfie to selfie, daybreak to nightfall, we go and come, come and go, like bots who win at chess by following rules, but know nothing of kindness. We never own these fleeting moments of armistice, those German and British soldiers who laid down arms and sang carols on Christmas Eve, still picked up guns the next morning. Cows will be milked as usual. All is as usual as we drive to work in a dissociative state where music casts a mood entered by chance. I want to take a chance. Be ineffable. Steep in secret moments of joy. Some nights the sky vault yawns like a sleepy child. The moon's zipper comes undone, her bra straps loosen, and a divine fragrance permeates the dusk. There is the tiny tingle of an ear pulse that says death will tuck us all into bed so tenderly. Shh, you must quiet everything to hear.
Another poem by Tim Sherry, December Morning, gives images of waterfowl on a pond in December, splash of December morning out of a winter sky.
December morning. Low-hanging ducks waded the wind and then aimed their landing down from the clouds, through the trees, over the house, and onto the pond silent at the back of the lot where I carefully gardened in the dark of December. Two touched the water with the gentleness required of such a place at such a time, while the third splashed feet and wings at a landing, past and then up again out through an opening at the end of the neighbor's yard. It was the middle of the morning, and no one else was home to know what might be wondered there. I stopped my gardening and waited for a metaphor or a memory that might take me back into the house to write of philosophy or beauty. I knew that ducks come out of a winter sky mulched with the clouds of another dead year, carry meaning with them, perhaps to edge the day or trim meditation into a theology of balance between two ducks landing and one flying on. But nothing came. A dog wandering turned its head, but didn't bother more. A darker darkness moved above the sky on the jet stream down from Canada. Rain suddened across the pond for a few minutes of hurry and wait on the porch. The ducks waited too under the droop of a Japanese maple never cut back, low over the water as a place better in the rain than a pond. Such a cloud purse and ducks landed would surely have held my gaze inside at my desk. But outside in the yard, where two ducks had stopped, it was a day better for pruning than poetry.
DM, harpist and poet from Nelson, BC, in the cold northwest up there, sent us a beautiful poem with some harp accompaniment. I don't think you'll forget the whoosh of thousands of birds through an open door.
Empty nest. One winter night, I was out walking, and I came upon my own house, windows dark. And even though I knew the house to be my own, and I knew the house to be empty, I knocked. When I knocked, a few thousand birds answered the door. They flew out singing as I went in. Each bird strung the same three notes like tiny lights into its own song. Each sound landed in the nest of silence I made with my own cupped hands, just dusty wind leaving between my fingers. With my apparently empty palms, I carried echoes into the house, made hot cinnamon tea with Christmas oranges, and listened to the ways I meet silence. I heard the veil between worlds tear open like a pealing bell, and when I opened my own wings, I discovered there was no roof there, nothing to divide the sky. So instead of walking now, I fly and string the same three notes like tiny lights into my own song. When I knocked, a few thousand birds answered the door. They flew out singing as I went in.
Steve Nebel, who has been the expert engineer and the editor who has been responsible for the fine sounds that you hear on Sound Poetry, has joined me to finish off poems at the end here. First, we have Steve's poems, and then mine, David Gilmour. Steve writes about a frosty morning, words that speak silently, but there's a ringing of pinball bells that adds a festive touch to a frosty morning. I follow with two short ones, dealing with the affairs of food at holiday time. Thank you. I'm your host, David Gilmour.
My name is Steve Niebel. This is called First Frost. First Frost. The first frosty morning hits me right in the eye with fresh, wet, white, bright on all the plants. Excitement exudes from my pores. My eye jumps from the small tree named Elvis to Mary hiding in the grass with a white shell, the sun shining back at me in glints and winks. I'm in luck that the sun is waving around in the sky, silently screaming at me in the cold. This is a kind of visual communication. They are the kind of words that speak silently to your interior. If you could see my interior on this morning, it would look like a pinball machine. My interior is ringing, lit up, singing in the frosty morning sun.
I'm your host, David Gilmour. Winter Ritual. Breaking Bread by David Gilmour. Cold, concrete darkness. Pine tree groaning overhead. Something swinging in the wind. Wild whipping of the tips of the limbs, but not the limbs themselves. Frozen, creaking. One came down, crack, landed on the cradled loaf she was carrying before her on the stone platform beneath, crashed on its covered crust in the icy brittle chill of evening. Sourdough it was, baked warm and ready for fingers to break from its cozy nest. But as I have said, it was the limb it was that broke the bread beneath the rocking boughs. Oh, the baker? Oh, she was shaken, shocked, as though disarmed, battered and patted with fronds of pine, but otherwise unmarked. This one is a tribute to my mother's making of Christmas cakes for many, many years. I called it Soul Food by David Gilmour. The Christ cake had long been lying, one whole year and 7 months, swaddled about in muslin cloth that reeked of life-preserving balm. The glazed mound of darkened matter, caked on top with bread of Mars, contained within riches fully, hidden within an integrated work. To spoil its beauty was my task, to cleave the meat from bones, to separate a worthwhile whole, to bring to life a deadened soul. Shedding a single tear for each broad slice of juicy flesh, to feed the souls impoverished. Such grieving did me, truth, refresh. Steve and I wish you all happy holidays and hope that you'll continue to listen to Sound Poetry on Radio Tacoma.